Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission is to equip you with answers to share the hope that you have within you, because life and truth matter. Why? Because being armed with truth will equip you to counter the corrosive worldviews at work in our world today, while experiencing the authentic Christian life will make you a winsome witness of the purpose of life, which is to experience union with God and Christ, both for today and for all eternity. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, our phone number is 888-7000-CRI. You can find us online at equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. As always, it is good to be in studio as we answer your questions from around the U.S., Canada, and indeed around the world. I want to take the time to read a letter that I received from Sherry. It is a well-worded letter that touched me deeply. I was sort of under the pile, as it were, because of the fact that we had gotten behind on bills. And so I got in the office this morning and I thought, oh ye of little faith, because I get this letter from Sherry that really buoyed my spirits. And she starts out saying, I discovered you on the radio by sheer accident a few months ago. By the way, when I say accident, I should mention that if only you could see the studio right now, I just had a little accident in the studio just moments before we went on the air. I'd fixed myself a cup of tea with some honey, so pretty sweet tea, because my throat was a little tender. And I picked up the cup and proceeded to spill it all over the desk, in fact, over my headphones. So you can imagine right now I have on headphones that are flavored by honey, and they're a little warm, and people scurrying around trying to clean up my mess. But anyway, she says, I discovered you on the radio by sheer accident a few months ago. What a blessing. I have learned more and gained more confidence in my knowledge regarding the scriptures in 6 months than I have had in years of attending church! I'm probably like so many of your listeners and enjoy your program daily, but never made the move to accept my, and she has that capitalized, M-Y, my responsibility for paying for the privilege of listening to you and learning more about God's Word. By the way, as I read this, this is an incredibly well-written letter. Sherry goes on to say, your stand against prosperity pastors moved me to join in that stand and accept my responsibility to help you. When I arrived home from work Monday evening after listening to your broadcast, I immediately went to my computer and I became a donor to your ministry for the very first time. Strangely enough, after completing that donation, I realized that I was once again taking the easy road and assuming, quote, someone else, close quote, would take on more of the financial burden regarding your ministry. So within a few minutes of signing up to be a donor, I logged back on and committed to being a monthly partner. I want to pause here for a moment to say that's one of the things that I've been asking people to do. Those who donate to the ministry, consider becoming a partner of the ministry. When you do, I would be pleased to personalize one of my books to you, a family member or a friend, is my way of saying thank you. So anyway, she signed up to be a donor and then went right back and re-signed up to become a monthly partner. Sherry goes on to say, I know without a doubt that it was God's will for me to support your ministry. I've learned to hear His voice. I've learned to discern His will as a result of your ministry, which has encouraged me to conduct my, capital O-W-N, my own in-depth study at home and really get into reading God's Word. I rarely watch TV anymore and find myself anxiously waiting for my early morning quiet time and communion with God. And I look forward to winding down after work with my evening Bible study. I have never in my life got the connection that a transformed life and mind is the direct result of me reading the scriptures and taking them to heart until I found your program. Listening to a pastor or reading a devotional every morning is not the same as having a desire and a passion for reading God's word and taking it to heart. So thank you. Thank you for not just speaking the truth and allowing me to listen to your wisdom, but for encouraging me to read my own Bible and hope to someday, and I love this, she says, and hope to someday become the Bible Answer Woman. Thank you again, Hank. I look forward to supporting your ministry monthly and growing in my knowledge of God with you in Christ's love, Sherry. And of course, thank you, Sherry, and all those that, like Sherry, have become partners who are supporting this ministry. If you can give, it would be deeply appreciated and used for God's glory and for the extension of God's kingdom through the lives of people like Sherry. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. You can also write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. As always, resource consultants, they're standing by, 888-7000, and the letter CRI. We'll go right to the phone lines now. First up is Brian. He's listening in Tennessee on the web. Hi, Brian.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call. I do financially and prayerfully support the ministry, and I feel like I have to as well because I'm kind of a byproduct of apologetic ministry. About 20 years ago, read a book by Henry M. Morris called Science in the Bible.
Wow.
And I had gotten to the point where I was pretty much an atheist, and boy, that book really turned me around, and then I found your ministry by accident on the radio coming out of New York when I lived in Connecticut, and I was a faithful listener for about 3 or 4 years, kind of dropped off for a little while, but I'm back.
Well, thank you. And thank you for your support.
Brother. Hey, you got it. Okay, here's my question. When I first started listening to you, I thought you were a young earth creationist, and I'm not sure if you're not there now or if you're a combination of the two. This literary framework of Genesis, I'm not sure I quite understand it, but can you kind of help me with that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it is a good way for reading Genesis. I am not completely consistent with the views of those that hold that framework theory for interpretation of Genesis. But here's what I would say. I think that you have to allow the facts to lead you wherever they will. And those facts are not only found in Scripture and rightly interpreting the Word of God, but also they are found in general revelation, which is to say, it is my view that if the earth is young or old is not ultimately determined by a reading of the biblical text. You know, for example, if you look at the genealogies, there's not a single biblical writer that uses them to establish a chronology, as it were. So it's not used to give you a time frame overall. And so you can't tell how long a time period there was from the time of Adam, let's say, to the second Adam, Jesus Christ. In fact, what's very interesting is when you read the book of Genesis, you encounter quite early on Cain and Abel. But you immediately recognize in the text there's also a land of Nod that already exists. So there are people that inhabit the earth at that time. Well, those people have to be the function of Adam and Eve and their progeny because Adam and Eve are the first man and woman. But we're not given all the details. What we're given is the highlights. And the reason is that Genesis is giving us not only a historical account, but it's also giving us a chronological account. In other words, it's expressing God's purposes in creation. So the point is, I don't think you can tell from Genesis whether the universe is old or young. An old universe doesn't in any way militate against the plain reading of the text in Genesis. But I think what you have to do is you have to look at general revelation to determine the age of the universe and then follow the facts wherever they lead. Do the facts actually lead to a young universe or do they lead to an old universe? But in either case, the idea does not militate against a biblical worldview. The biblical worldview, the thing that can't be compromised there, Brian, is the notion that Adam's sin is responsible for the existence of a physical and moral evil in the world. That's what you can't compromise. Now, you can have an old earth and say that the effects contemporarily precede the cause being Adam's fall into a life of perpetual sin terminated by death. In the same way that we can say that Jesus, a lamb slain before the foundations of the world, is one whose death on the cross at a particular juncture in history not only atones for the sins that follow that time frame, but also for the sins that preceded that time frame.
Okay, thanks so much, Hank. I appreciate you, brother.
Brian, thank you for your support and for your kind words. We are coming to station break. Be right back.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults on sanity have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, you know nothing less than civilization is at stake when ideology trumps reality or when psychology trumps biology. That's wokeism in a nutshell. The threat is not only critical, it's urgent, which is why Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. You won't want to miss the upcoming special issue of the Christian Research Journal that contains everything you need to know about the cult of wokeism and its impact on Western civilization. You'll read sobering articles with penetrating analysis of the social and mental disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of the special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. Winston Churchill once declared, "You may have to fight when there is no hope of victory, because it is better to perish than to live as slaves." Churchill sought to awaken those who were reluctant to fight against the advancing Nazi war machine. Today, a spiritual battle is taking place. New atheism advances in the West, and slavery to secularity is imprisoning more and more hearts and minds in the United States. For this reason, CRI's ministry is critical. But we need people willing to stand for truth, along with the financial provisions to accomplish its mission. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the month of June to end the fiscal year in a position of strength. Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org.
If you're not horrified, you should be, because the relentless assaults of wokeism on sanity and common sense have now reached a fevered pitch. In fact, some astute observers see more than deranged ideologies at work. It's as though the gates of hell have been opened. And alarmingly, the speed of this mindless rush to chaos and potential civilizational collapse is gaining momentum daily. That means Christians need to wake up and wake up fast. One of the best alarm clocks is the upcoming special Woke edition of the Christian Research Journal. It contains sobering articles with penetrating analyses of a social disease that is reaching a flashpoint. To receive your copy of this special edition of the Christian Research Journal, visit equip.org. That's equip.org. or call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI.
Because an increasingly militant, intolerant, and hostile secularism would love to silence the voice of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, we ask you to do all you can this month to help us turn up the volume. We are deeply grateful for your partnership at this critical time as we strive to stand courageously for life and truth. Stand with Hank Hanegraaff and the Christian Research Institute during the key month of June to ensure that we end our financial year in a position of strength. To make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. God bless you. And now, let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
A lot of you hanging on. We'll go right back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Amanda in New York, New York, listening on the web. Hi, Amanda.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Yes, I had a question about, I was reading the Bible, and it's in Matthew 7, verse 21-23.
Uh-huh.
And it's talking about when Jesus says, like, you know, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
But who does the will of my Father in heaven? And I don't really understand those scriptures.
Yeah, what you have to always consider is context. And what Jesus is saying in context is that we have to watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. So what Christ is saying is that they look good, sound good, but in the end are very deadly. And Jesus says that ultimately it's not their appearance but the fruit of their ministries or lives that cause you to recognize them. And then he gives an analogy. He says, do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or do they pick figs from thistles? It's a rhetorical question, obviously. Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. That's the prologue to the words that you quoted earlier, Amanda. And so the Lord goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. The false prophets could say, Lord, Lord, but they were not going to enter the kingdom of heaven because they loved the Lord, not because of the Lord himself, but rather because of what the Lord could give them. Prosperity. Judas would have been a classic case in point. He hung around Jesus, not because he loved Jesus, but because he loved what Jesus could do for him. And so perhaps Jesus really has in mind, as he's speaking here, Judas, who he later on says is a devil, because he is one who looks like a shepherd, but in fact is a wolf in sheep's clothing. And he really doesn't do the will of his Father in heaven. He does his own will under the guise of doing the will of his Father in heaven. So this is, in essence, Christ calling out counterfeit Christs and counterfeit Christianity, as opposed to the real thing, where people follow Jesus because they genuinely love him, not because they know everything about him, know perfectly his precepts and his principles, but they say, I want to follow Jesus and be a participant in the kingdom. And of course, Jesus never turns such a one as that away.
Okay. And I have another question. What is the will of our Father in heaven? Is our will to do good and to believe in Jesus Christ and to just love him and others?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's what we were created for, Amanda. We were created for having a relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, not only in time, but for all eternity. And then we are called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, those through whom God makes his will and his way plain to others in the world. So if you want to go to heaven alone, you may not be going there at all, because those who genuinely love the Lord and love the kingdom want others to participate in that kingdom as well.
Okay.
You got it?
Yes.
Appreciate your call, Amanda. Blessings to you. And back to the phone lines, we'll talk next to Ben, Leawood, Kansas. Hi, Ben.
Hi, and thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Okay, so my question has to do with, I guess, parallels that I've seen drawn between Jesus and, for instance, I think his name was Horus. It was an ancient Egyptian god of the sun. Have you seen the movie The Zeitgeist?
I sure have. Zeitgeist, yes. That's a German word. Zeitgeist, yeah.
And have you seen the movie?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's kind of, I watched that today, and I'm just trying to figure out, have you written on it, or is there anything anywhere that I can get some information about that, and whether or not it's legit? Or
yeah, actually, we did write a summary of Zeitgeist, and it is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Zeitgeist, as I said, is a German word, and it has to do with the spirit of the times. And the basic idea is that Christianity is mythological, very much like mystery religions are mythological. And they also make the assertion that Christianity borrowed from pagan mystery religions. They do a lot of things, however, to make the parallels seem greater than what they really are. First and foremost, what they do is they exaggerate the terminology, and then they make these parallels. Not only that, but oftentimes they get the chronology all wrong. In other words, if you get the chronology correct and you're not spinning it, then it would be the mystery religions borrowing from Christianity rather than the other way around. But even if there are parallels, that shouldn't bother us. In a sense, C.S. Lewis talked about the mystery of Christianity in the sense that Christianity ultimately is not mythological in the same sense as the mystery religions, but rather in the sense that here you have something that actually happens in time and space. So in a mystery religion, a resurrection is in fact mythological in the true sense of the word, but in Christianity it actually happens because God invades time and space and has the power to overcome death and the grave. But I would say that the mystery religions are syncretistic, and that's a huge difference from Christianity. They borrow from all kinds of different competing religions, where Christianity is singularly focused on faith in the one who said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." So again, the Zeitgeist is great propaganda, but it doesn't correspond to reality. And the alleged similarities, as I said, as well as the terminology used to communicate those similarities, are greatly exaggerated. So if you look at the parallel between the resurrection of Osiris and the resurrection of Christ, it's a stretch. And for the mysteries, that's about as good as it gets.
Okay. Do you recommend any particular books? Or I guess I'm looking for details and that sort of thing.
Well, of course, we've written this piece, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. Lee Strobel also takes this on in his book, The Case for the Real Jesus. I've written about this in various entries in the Bible Answer Book, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. So there are a lot of different resources that you can get if you go to the web at equip.org.
Okay, and what is the one that you described, not your Bible Answer Book, but the other one that you said that you wrote particularly on this subject?
Well, I didn't write this, but it's a summary done by our research department. It's called Zeitgeist the Movie, and it is a summary of Zeitgeist the Movie. And you can find it on the web.
Thank you very much, and God bless.
God bless you. Thank you so much for your call. We'll go back to the phone lines now and talk to Tim. He's listening in Illinois. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Hank. First off, I got a little scratchy throat myself, so if that honey on the headset works, just let me know. I might have a new antidote.
Oh, my goodness. It is so weird having a wet headset on. I'm trying to ignore it as I speak.
my question is, I attended a church on Ash Wednesday that, since my church doesn't have Lent services, I was brought up in this church, and we're going through confession and absolution, and the church confesses of their sins, which they ever made. The pastor ends up saying, as a called and ordained servant, he says a few more things, and he makes a sign of the cross and says, I forgive you of your sins. Now, my question is, he actually forgiving your sins himself, or is he proclaiming your forgiveness through Christ?
No, he's proclaiming your forgiveness through Christ. This is the same thing that Jesus said in John 20, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Now, you have to contextualize this. No one has the power to forgive sin, but the power they have is a power given to them by Christ to pronounce that a person's sins are forgiven based on their trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. So it's a delegated power, as it were. Christ is present to forgive sins with everyone who proclaims the gospel in his name. I don't have any time to go further today. Hopefully we'll see you right back here tomorrow with more of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In the meantime, we do need your prayers and support. So long for now.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. To listen to the broadcast on the internet, visit equip.org, where you'll also find a wealth of information and resources to equip you. To talk to a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the Revised and Updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.